Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 14th on the West Coast and June the 15th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. If the show sounds extremely clear tonight, that's because it is. We're now broadcasting at 64K on bbsradio.com, and that is our gift to you, the listeners, so that you can hear better the truth that comes out on this show and the many others that we broadcast, as well as all the great music, the independent artists that are featured on this network depend upon your support. They were, for whatever reason, not kowtowing to the major record labels, and they make their music quite affordable and available to you directly. They don't have to prostitute themselves with the Illuminati shows that are put together for mind control. They're just artists communicating a pure artistic musical message to you in the hope that you like their music and will invest in it. Also, we want to encourage you to subscribe to bbsradio.com archives, and you can listen to this show as well as all the other shows broadcast on the network in one package, and you can't beat it. So I encourage you to do that. Those of you who can't always stay up late to listen to the show, it is late for a lot of people, especially on the East Coast. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on around the world. I had an opportunity to spend 2 hours with my good friend, former Marine, Drew Malone Raines III, on his show, A Marine's Disquisition. And we talked about some things that we're going to talk about tonight with our guest, Dr. A. True Watt. And one of the things that we are going to do is bring out some of the facts that are now coming out little by little in increments. They're admitting to some things that we've been saying for the past 6 weeks or more on this show and on some other shows, particularly on the show hosted by tonight's guest. It's called The Story Behind the Story. It's heard Monday through Fridays on the Micro Effect Broadcasting Network, and he is a regular guest here on Evident Footprints, my good friend, Dr. A. True Watt. True, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, you had a very interesting show this evening, and there was a lot of truth coming out, some behind-the-scenes information or insider information, and I want to give you the opportunity, if you want to expound on any of that as we progress through several topics tonight. The one on everybody's mind and consciousness is this disaster occurring in the Gulf of Mexico. And I had an opportunity today to listen to some snippets of Lindsay Williams, who was on my show twice this past month, and basically saying that this was a disaster of epic proportions, that we weren't getting the whole truth about this event. It's being covered up, sequestered. We've heard reports of the many researchers and reporters that are going down to the Gulf area to investigate what's going on. Some have been arrested. Some have been harassed. I saw one particular video where a crew of workers, a cleanup crew, was being coached that they didn't have to talk to the reporter by a security person working for BP Oil on our beaches. This is abhorrent to me that this is going on, and I'm sure many people, if they consider that our country has been taken over by a foreign corporation, they should be outraged by it. What are your thoughts on that, Drew?
Well, you know, it seems that we just kind of go full circle, Don. I was just sitting here today. In fact, I'd like to do a full show honoring the Declaration of Independence on my program as well. But when you really sit down and just read the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, you know, it's just amazing that what was occurring then that led up to the American Revolution is happening again today in spades. And as I interviewed one of my guests last week, Anton Chaykin, who is really a scholar of the British oligarchy, along with Lyndon LaRouche, Anton and Mr. LaRouche both are very, very clear on their website that this is an act of war against America continuing, just as the Civil War was financed by agent provocateurs. John Wilkes Booth was an agent of the British government to assassinate Lincoln, all going back to the control of the British completely. And we can't lose sight of who British Petroleum is, who's at the top, who Goldman Sachs is, who's at the top there, and what their long-term goal is. You know, you see, as I've talked about on the show tonight a little bit, I touched on this a little bit, just how much BP has funded the Barack Obama administration, the department, the energy secretary received, when he was at Cal Berkeley, $500 million, $500 million in BP money in grants. How in the world can this administration not be influenced by this British interest?
Mm-hmm.
It's just so apparent. And so when you go back and again read the Declaration of Independence, there's this whole litany of problems that these early patriots said we have to throw these off, and everything seems to be matching up today. It's just quite amazing to me, Don, and continues to get to a point where, you know, are we going to sit by, or do we need to draft up another Declaration of Independence to throw ourselves off from this British control?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in the church, it's become British Israelism, which is really a disguise for communism. And if you look, you know, it's a political ideology worked into a religious framework and being taught as the Bible. Mm-hmm. And of course, that is not what's in the Bible. So, you know, you have this flagrant ignorance of how things are being manipulated, how Holy Scriptures are being manipulated. Certainly, you know, you and I have talked about the manipulation of the facts in historical accounts as to many wars, what caused them, and current events today we're tracking in real time, which probably never was really done to the scale it's being done today. And we're discovering that as fast as they can pull something off, we've got it figured out, what they've done, who's behind it, what the motive is. And it always seems to be about money, doesn't it?
It does. Well, it, not so much money, is what money symbolizes, and that's the control.
And the power, yeah.
And power. You know,
yeah.
And really, these people have almost a masochism and a narcissism to be able to dominate the world. They've always wanted to do that. And that's really, you know, the the lie of Satan, if you want to put it into those terms, you've got, you know, the story of Christ when he began his mission. What did Satan do at the Mount of Transfiguration? According to the Bible, it, you know, he showed him the whole world and offered to basically give him power, the unbridled power, if he would just, you know, worship him as opposed to God the Father.
Mm-hmm. And to renounce God the Father, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's always been that's the lie of these Satanists and the Luciferians and Satan and Lucifer, whatever you want to call them, are very much alive, very much working behind the scenes, Don, and that's what it's about. It's renouncing honor and justice and love, really, to go after unbridled power, dominion, and money. That's what it's about. It really is.
Well, that brings us maybe to a point where I can sort of segue into something that I'd like to talk about, and I think you'd find it very interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many aspects to this, so we're not going to cover it all in tonight's show, but we can tie it into what's going on in the Gulf, for example, or with Iraq or Afghanistan or Israel and Turkey, or Israel and Palestine, or Israel and Egypt, or Saudi Arabia. These cyclical patterns that we've witnessed, those of us who've lived more than 50 years certainly remember a lot of this, going back into the 60s, the 70s, and it seems to just keep going on and on and on. There's never any resolution. You know, we have these multinational organizations like the UN, and there's really no definition of what the UN is by the UN itself. They pretend to want to curtail starvation, famine, disease, and poverty, among other things, but it's the most corrupt organization on the face of the planet. And the allegiance that's paid to such an organization has its roots in organized crime, the very elements that run governments around the world. And we've talked about the reptilian factor behind that, and I think that's really what is behind the promotion of a lot of the Satanism and the evil that's going on here. But I want to pose something to you, and I want to reference an email that I got from one of my readers. I don't know if this person actually listens to this show, but I got paid a very high compliment about my research, particularly on SHRF, aka Bush, and BHO, the short-legged Mac Daddy. And in particular, this individual found my take on the faked Rockefeller death, Michael Rockefeller's death, of particular interest because of some information that he was aware of in regard to why it suits the Illuminati or even another group that controls the Illuminati to disappear certain family members in certain families, to groom them for a role in this organization that is really the hidden hand behind all of this stuff. And it's kind of interesting because they're not necessarily evil. In fact, I don't really think they are evil. I think they know so much about the universal truths and the universal laws that they see this earth moving in a congealed fashion where there's a unity that's taking place. Under universal law, under God's laws, under the laws of the creation, not necessarily the ones that we are being shown. So then you'd have to ask yourself, well, if these, and true, you can count these people on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm led to believe just by a series of coincidences, and there are no coincidences, by the way, and synchronicities that this gentleman made about the research and some unpublished findings that I have in regard to Michael Rockefeller, that he is right on point, and my research is right on point. That Michael Rockefeller may very well have been groomed to be one of these people in the background who is actually calling the shots. It's a stretch of imagination for a lot of people, maybe even you. But I'm convinced that I'm right about that. And I have been right about many of the things in this oil catastrophe. I almost said spill. They keep calling it a spill. Spills go from the top down, not in reverse. So I just want to make that clear. And many other things. And I point that out because if he is, then it shows why the evil is being permitted to go on. Because basically, government agencies, bureaucracies, and the whole political structure worldwide is designed ultimately either through force or maybe something better, maybe through a natural process, to bring us all together as people. You see, you and I and the people out in the listening audience wonder why we have wars. We understand the mechanism behind it and that it's they're there to make money. You have people who are overcome by greed, and they will do anything to put money in their pockets, whether it's legitimate or not. And I view world governments basically as elements of organized crime, just like in the drug trade, sex trafficking, the pedophilia, all of these perverted industries that they have going on simultaneously. One supports the other. It supports the space program. They support underground bases. They support the overthrow of countries so that they can exploit their assets, be they mineral or whatever. And this is tolerated because there is some connection between these people who are at the top, secretly running everything. And I think it's really a stretch or a leap of faith that I even would name Michael Rockefeller as one of these. Of course, he's not using that name. He's not using that name at all. And if you were to research these people, if you were given a name, it would be an alias, and you would hit a brick wall and not be able to figure out who it is. But ultimately, what's going on in the universe is that this natural grid that is part of the creation is receiving information from on high, which is a higher vibration than what this planet has been used to. And we're witnessing the collapse of this old system. Whether they admit it or not, we're witnessing the collapse. What's happening and their inability to curtail and contain this oil disaster. Right now, they don't have the technology to do that. And what they might attempt, such as a nuclear weapon or more, to seal up the fractures in the ocean's floor, is only going to exacerbate the situation. It could result in a complete catastrophe that destroys the whole planet. So it's uncharted territory. And so they're willing to use this as a pretext or a replacement for other agendas that they have in line to do the same thing. So these people who control things from behind the scenes, who are pulling the strings, see that eventually they're going to get the same result. They might allow this to play out. But I truly don't feel that their intent is to see mankind obliterated or the planet completely destroyed. And at some point, something's going to have to shift and take over for that. Now, the consciousness, the people who are waking up because of this disaster and the anger that's coming about because of their incapacity to resolve the problem, the very problem they created by digging the thing in the first place. We're finding out that it was much, much deeper. There's much, much more pressure of the oil coming out of the ground, and that it's fractured the mantle. the Earth's mantle. And because of that, you're going to see all kinds of disasters if it's not curtailed. Now, I said quite a mouthful there, but I want to give you a chance to respond to what I just said.
Well, most definitely the lies and obfuscation has been from the very beginning. It has a lot of parallels to the events of 9/11. For instance, we talked with my guest tonight, who's a Pentagon insider. One of his doctorate degrees was in systems analysis and programming, and he designed the computer network for the Pentagon. And so with a lot of security clearances that he has, he was there at ground zero and saw the whole thing at, you know, days, if not hours after the event, because he had to get the computers of our, you know, of the Navy's wing up to speed. And so he knows it was most definitely not an airplane. It was a specific type of missile that designed to take out the Navy's communications. And he's just basically, I asked him point blank who was responsible. He didn't elaborate specifically. He just basically said that it was infighting among our own, you know, some of our own services for competing for prestige and or dollars. It's like you got five kids that are all competing in sibling rivalry and fighting each other to the point of breaking bones and bloodying noses. Mm-hmm. It's not beyond the realm of possibility. So to cover up all of that, the reality, they concoct this cockamamie story that a plane was driven into it.
Now, you're talking about the Pentagon. You said ground zero. You are referring to the Pentagon, right?
Well, it's a ground zero at the Pentagon, too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
To actually measure the hole that went in, the lack of jet fuel, all of this, you know, was just absolutely, you know, not discussed. And in the Patriot movement, everybody's talking about what happened at the Twin Towers and Building 7. Virtually nothing is being said about the Pentagon, which is right there in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the Pentagon was hit with a cruise missile and it was done deliberately to attack a certain wing of the armed forces, well, that just shows the whole story is bogus and there's a cover-up going on.
Well, of course, and we saw the nose of the airplane that they supposedly captured on that parking lot camera that originally didn't have any images like that whatsoever, but then all of a sudden they came out with this nose sneaking into the picture, and then you don't see the rest of the plane. I'm surprised they didn't find Barbara Olson's passport on the lawn out there.
Yeah, know? Yeah. There's no those wings just didn't even go into any part of the building, and it's all you know, anybody with half a brain could see that it just didn't fit any way, shape, and form. But I draw that parallel because that's what's happened to this, you know, Deepwater Horizon. Drew, this thing is massive. There's just no way that it just caught fire and exploded because of a blowout. Mm-hmm. There was sabotage. I'm of the opinion it was a direct assault from satellite weaponry and technology, the miracle chemical laser from satellite outer space to the land is very, very accurate, can be pinpointed. And this makes all the sense in the world when you realize that this is a joint deployment of the Israeli Mossad, which are, of course, governed and ruled by Rothschild, who happens to own BP.
Mm-hmm. And BP has a CEO, the international CEO, was also the international CEO of Goldman Sachs, too.
Yeah, so there's the whole linkage. And again, it goes back to the wording of the Declaration of Independence. This is a direct attack on America. You know, we won't know fully what will happen for the next one to two years, Don. But you know, the models that have turned out to be correct so far by the scientists who have talked to me, the one that, you know, Mr. Paul Noel, who we had, I had first on my show at the end of April with Sterling Allen, we had callers on my show, Don. I don't know if you heard that or not, Paul made the declaration of the size of the hole, the pressure, and he received such, a lackluster response by callers, he quit the show early. He was mocked and emailed. They took him apart in a whole bunch of blogs that he was just absolutely drumming up some fear-mongering and was not accurate at all. Well, it was absolutely accurate. The rest of the story is turning out to be just as accurate. He said, you'll not be able to contain this. You'll see other shifting and breaking up of the ocean floor. You'll see other eruptions. Well, it's almost like he was prophetic, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then the real scary part is where this starts to the oil starts to be displaced by siphoning back ocean water that becomes pressure steam, you know, where you hit deep in the crust. Oil doesn't turn to steam, but water does. And when that happens, the displacement of these plates will just cause incredible earth movements and earthquakes.
Yes.
So we're in for a wild ride. There's no doubt about it. And like Dr. Laney on my show tonight said, well, they thought they could control it for a specific, you know, propaganda move, maybe to go back into cap and trade or to use it to get back, you know, into some type of energy, you know, curtailments, and maybe even, you know, raise the price of gas at the pump. It's all part of their plan. Well, it backfired miserably. I don't think they had it figured out that they can't release 70,000 pounds per square inch of pressure and not have some massive, massive repercussions. So they basically lit up a firework and thought they could control it, and it blew up in their faces. And now they've literally got hell to pay.
Yeah, and we've tracked, you know, let me back up for a moment here. Lindsay Williams was on the show, as I referenced earlier, twice in the month of May. And I shared some information with him that my take on this was that the pressure was somewhere between 75,000 and 100,000 pounds per square inch. They were putting out information in the beginning in front of Congress that it was around the neighborhood of 13,000 pounds of pressure. Now, Lindsay recently on GCN, on this one particular show, the real popular show on GCN, made the statement that the Prudhoe Bay fine was measured at 1,500 pounds of pressure per square inch. So you're talking about something, if it's at 13,000, let's say 8.5 to 9 times more powerful than that. However, it wasn't but a day or two later that they said it was 20,000 pounds of pressure. Still not admitting what I had said about 75 to 100,000 pounds. Now, Lindsay on this show on the 10th said that his contact in the oil industry told him flat out that they felt that it went up to 105,000 pounds of pressure. He was using the term 70,000 pounds throughout most of the show. By the end of the show, he came out with that number.
Uh-huh.
105,000 pounds of pressure per square inch. And that it literally blew out every safe safety valve that they had, not to use a pun, in that system. It never, ever dealt with that kind of pressure, though the Soviets, or the Russians, if you want to call them Russians, back in 2004, had six wells that they had to nuke to shut off a similar disaster. The difference was that it was on land, and so it wasn't very highly publicized, not like this event. It wasn't destroying marine life, and it wasn't threatening the freshwater supplies and the shorelines. Now, people equate all this damage with monetary value in terms of the media's representation of what's going on. The dispersants, the toxic dispersants I brought up when Lindsay was on the show and said these surfactants are more toxic, many, many times, 5 to 6 times more toxic than the oil. In fact, oil, other than the benzene and a few other chemicals that are coming out, would not be as destructive as what they're using. And they own the company that makes these surfactants, so they're making money on that too.
Yes.
It's insane what's going on, and we're not getting the truth about it, and people are going to see the results. They're eventually going to be affected by this in some way, and gas prices should be the last of their concerns right now. We're looking at, and imagine looking at this from space or, you know, with a higher technology. There are those that know what's going on. And I want to come back to that other topic we were on because it has everything to do with that. And we're being lied to in that area. And many of us know that. But this is some pretty interesting information I'm going to present. Any comment now on Lindsay Williams?
Well, you know, I've been listening to Lindsay. I think he hasn't been 100% right on a lot of things, but most things he is right on. And it's not him, it's his unnamed source, his friend in Exxon or wherever it is in the company. But I put a lot of faith, more so than he would, in my friend there. I was on my show tonight, and we discussed a lot of these things, and he's been exactly right on. The outcome may be different because of, you know, people working to stop the insanity, and in some many cases it has been stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to focus on like you said, the long term implications of this. In the plankton kills, you know, I've got that all on my website, atruot.com, all of the dates and places and times. You kill off that much plankton with the Corexit surfactant, you create a chain of effect when that zooplankton dies, and the phytoplankton gives off a whole lot more of that noxious methane gas into the atmosphere, which causes more heavy rains and much more intense winds and storm systems to form. There's going to be a lot more and heavier duty, cyclones, tornadoes, and hurricanes this season, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be directly tied to that storm center.
Now, the levels of toxicity that are being measured are just off the charts completely.
Mm-hmm.
Safe levels would be 3 or 4 parts per billion, and I think that's even too much. But, you're talking about contamination of seawater. It's in the 3,000s. The benzene readings and other chemical compounds that are coming up are just off the charts completely, and these are carcinogenic substances. People are breathing these in. They are going to be witnessing birth defects in the coming offspring that they're going to have, either either where a mother is actually pregnant now or where a baby's yet to be conceived. These people are going to be carrying these toxins in their body, and it's definitely going to affect their reproductive capacities. There's no concern about this. This is all being swept under the carpet. Between
3 to 5 years is what it takes for the leukemias following benzene toxicity to make themselves manifest. Do you remember the story, oh golly, a few years ago about Fallon, Nevada?
Yes.
They had all of those leukemia cases that were way beyond the national average. Well, the investigations went in and found that there was a large amount of benzene from the air fighting wing that had been leaked into the groundwater and had groundwater plumes of benzene that contaminated the, you know, it's another Aaron Brockovich story, you know. But of course the Pentagon and the Air Force kept it under wraps. But that's what was determined caused that abnormal break, you know, strange break of breakout of leukemia in that area. Well, it's multiplied times 100, or maybe even 1,000, the toxicity levels in not only the water, drinking water, which is recharged aquifers from the air. The pressure systems as the water evaporates in the Gulf of Mexico, these water particles filled with benzene will come and recharge into the aquifers. That's the scope and depth of this problem. The Exxon Valdez, well, that was tragic, but it did not occur in such a large quantity in the Gulf Stream area, where you've got this warm water current that will affect the precipitation, not only of the Gulf states, but the western U.S. as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the amount of oil that is escaping, and I had predicted just on a statement that they had made that they don't see a solution coming forth until August. Well, make a reservation, folks. You know, we're going to have a solution by August. How do they come to those conclusions? Well, I calculated on the flow rate that they were using, which was 2.6 million gallons a day, that by the end of July, by July 31st, at that rate, the amount of oil that will have spilled into the Gulf of Mexico would have been in the neighborhood of 10,155,600,000 gallons of oil. Now they're saying it's at least 5 million gallons a day. So basically you can double that number. And keep in mind that there is a statistic that a quart of oil has the capacity to contaminate 200,000 gallons of water. So this is massive.
Imagination. You got Rush Limbaugh and the rest of these talking duds still maintaining that this is not a problem. That's what blows me away, that the ocean can handle this type of contamination. Well, you know, Don, the thing that's also missing in a lot of the discussions should be this, always be brought into play. The vast amount of oil that is escaping from this ruptured sabotage shows the amounts that the oil producing nation has been supplying. It's limitless. There is no such thing, ever, never has been. And this is what is missing in the discussion. All of these disruptions of oil from the Middle East, the spikes of oil prices and all of that because of Katrina and the rest of these things. Well, it's all manipulation. It's all speculation. You've got 28 or so super tankers of BP oil that refuse to unload their product and to begin to suck up the floating oil and put it into the holds of the ships. You see, the truth is that oil is not a finite resource at all. It's something that the earth produces by the movement of the plates and the movement of the molten magma and lava. It's not created basically by, you know, old dinosaurs in vegetative manner. No. That's a fiction. It continues to produce and to grow, just like the human body is a good parallel. We can, the oil is the earth's lifeblood, Don, and in a very real way, if we cut an artery and bleed a lot of blood, well, does that blood never, is that blood never produced in the body? The body has a system to produce more blood. It takes time, but the oil is...
As long as you sew up that
suture.
As long as you suture it, you know, because if you don't, the body's going to die. Now, you mentioned Sterling Allen, and I had a conversation with him a few weeks ago. And I think the only thing we disagreed on was in a paper he had written. He had said, you know, we have to eliminate our dependency on fossil fuels. And I disagreed that oil is a fossil fuel. And I said oil has been identified as an abiotic fuel. And we respectfully disagreed with each other. We didn't become enemies over that. However, Lindsey Williams brought out the information from his source that this was abiotic oil. Mm-hmm. And they had not dealt with that at this pressure and this depth, and really they're still lying on CNN. They're saying they drilled down to 18,000 feet. That's just an outright lie. And he's said that they're admitting to at least 30,000 feet, but more likely they went past 40,000. They're going to downplay this.
Wow.
So I was proven right in that respect. Lindsey wouldn't make that up. And when I told him about that, he assured me he was going to ask that specific question. And the answer he got was, yes, it is abiotic oil. So Lindsey had an interesting two shows on Evident Footprints last month, and I have to say that I haven't agreed with everything that he said over the years, but he was right about the oil non-crisis, and he's got a lot of truth coming out, and he's describing this as pure evil. It's pure evil, which brings us back, if I can segue back to the topic we were talking about. Now, this group, who I'm not going to name at this time, because the name really doesn't matter, but this group has a name other than anything you've ever heard. And basically, there were about five people at the top of this group, and they formed some organizations. One of the organizations they formed was called the ACIO, which stands for Advanced Contact Intelligence Organization. And it doesn't say a whole lot by its title unless you look at what they handled. And they were created to handle the ET imperative. And this was beginning in 1940, There was a crash that occurred off the coast of Florida, which they basically swept under the rug. No, a lot of people hadn't heard about that one. And they began finding artifacts. They found some artifacts in New Mexico. And they began studying these artifacts, and they found what was, to them, it seemed like a homing device that also contained a topographical map. And this device was about the size of a child's shoebox, meaning that, you know, the, a shoebox for kids' shoes. And the weight of it was like a blue ribbon watermelon. So it was a very heavy, impenetrable type of metallic device that had some mystery behind it. And they found other artifacts. And where they found this artifact, it was basically not buried. It should have been buried. They didn't have any radioactive, or I should say radar activity that they measured. And within a year's time, so they couldn't determine how this was placed where they had found it. A couple of students from the University of New Mexico had taken it to their professor who had it in his possession, and their technology located this. They have such sophisticated technology that we haven't even heard about yet. They basically knew that this thing had been found, even though they hadn't heard about it. No one said, hey, we found this thing. They just basically picked up the thought patterns and the energy of this device and located it, went to the professor and took it from him, made the students and the professor sign non-disclosure statements, and then they began studying this. Now, this is on behalf of this group that I'm talking about. And And the duties of the various government agencies are, you know, you've heard this term need-to-know basis, and they're on different security levels. So the NSA would be down the food chain a couple of notches from what this ACIO actually dealt with. But they have determined that there is a consciousness shift that's going to overtake this planet, as well as probably every planet in our solar system, and certainly these changes are occurring all over the galaxy. We've talked about this on the show many times. So you have to ask yourself, why do they put up with what the shenanigans going on in the governments? These people are set financially for life. They have more money than you can imagine. So their motivations now are not to gather more money. Those that are running the show on their behalf are interested in more money. In other words, they seize the opportunity to get more money. So there's a lot of evil going on, and it's designed to control us. And they are also being influenced by two groups and two types of technology that have been around in conjunction with those two groups. They're not the only groups that are here. This is a topic that we've discussed before, and I endure a lot of ridicule for this, but I don't create these government agencies, and I didn't create them. But there's information leaking out about them, and it's very credible information, and it actually explains a lot of the things that we don't understand, because we see the evil and the corruption that's going on. We think that's the top of the mountain. And it isn't. It's just a couple of steps toward the top of the mountain. There's a lot more going on behind the scenes than is apparent. And ultimately, you know, Drew, we think, you know, why do we have wars? Why can't people just get along? Why shouldn't we be able to hop on a plane and go to Russia and spend a month there and get to meet people and experience the arts and all the wonderful things that there are to see there, or someplace else in Africa or Asia or South America, Why can't we just do this freely? Well, ultimately, we will be able to do that. But they see how the system as it is right now, and it's playing itself out on some levels, and others it's getting worse, is going to lead us in that direction. But these people aren't necessarily looking for one world government to be a fascist or a communist state. That's not at all what they're striving for, and that's not going to be permitted in the consciousness shift that's going on. This isn't intended to sound like some kind of wacko, new agey kind of concept, because if you look at what's happening, we're on the path to destruction right now. There's no doubt about it. And it's got to change. And so I think we're seeing the corrupt elements basically warring with each other. You had that on your show today.
Right.
Why should our military, who's protecting our so-called liberty and our freedom and our best interests and democracy, why are they at war with each other? It's because of the corruption. They're not abiding by their oaths, and their concerns aren't about our safety. They're out for what they can get themselves. Comments, please. I'll shut up.
No, it's there has to be some kind of pattern and plan on this lunacy, and I'm reminded a lot of the late Bill Cooper and his writings, his book Behold a Pale Horse. I had quite a bit of interplay with Mr. Cooper, and some things I disagreed with, but for the most part, when he said something, he usually backed it up with documentation. And he basically, in Behold the Pale Horse book, he gives declassified documents. Well, they got him under Freedom of Information Act request to verify his declarations as an operative in Navy intelligence during his career, that during the Truman administration and beginning with the Truman, but culminating in Eisenhower's administration, that there were two competing bodies of extraterrestrials, one a benevolent group that wanted to share openly the technologies of health and literature and universal teachings, just for the agreement of the world to disarm and not ever explode another nuclear device, because it would affect the whole galactic system if a planet were to be lost because of a nuclear warfare. Okay? And Cooper said that, unfortunately, the benevolent group of humanoid aliens were sent away with a thank you but no thank you, and because there was a much higher and earlier consensus to agreement between the world leaders to go with the more benevolent reptilian influence, which promised selfish power to a select few. And again, that's what we said at the first part of the show. It all does go back to the control of power and greed factors.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was something I wanted to say, and it slipped my mind because I was getting into what you were saying. There have been several presidents, Truman, Eisenhower, for instance, who had opportunities such as what you just described, and they chose the path they chose because of the bloodlines. Let's remember that Eisenhower was not an American. I'm convinced of that. He certainly wouldn't have been confused about where he was born. It's as simple as that. And so they had to hide that secret from us, and so we never, until I stumbled across this article, I was sent this article by a listener and reader of my website who lived in Denison and came across that. It's amazing that this documentation is out there somewhere, and that, you know, is it divine providence that we find it? I'm led to conclude that it is, actually, that we're supposed to find this, and that these choices were made is indicative of the roots that he had and the control that was there from his father. His father plays into all of the research that you and I have done, and some others that you had on your show, the researcher Peter Moon, and you know what's going on there in Romania historically for hundreds and hundreds of years. So it's not really a surprise when we know all this. You see, it's difficult for people to grasp these topics because they're outside the realm of their experience. It is for anyone. I was the biggest skeptic in the world about these things until I started having my own experiences. And I think it was because I did my homework and I did a lot of research prior to having those experiences that I understood what they were. And they didn't overwhelm me like they do some. They didn't frighten me like they do some. Of course, these were not negative experiences either. But you do see the malevolent aspect of all of this if you spend any normal amount of time doing research. You're going to come into contact with information that shows you what's really going on the other side. Now, those that control the planet or those that are really calling the shots, there is a specific description of how they select these people for this role on this handful of people that run everything, run the show, and their bloodline has a little bit to do with it, but these people are identified at an early age, and they are selected to be groomed for this role, usually in their early to mid-20s, but we'll say earlier 20s. And usually by the age of 33, they're prepared to take a step in that direction, maybe become a part of the group and sit on this council that makes these decisions. And they're financially able to do this. That's all they do. They're not going out earning a living. They have more money than they can ever spend in 100 lifetimes or 1,000 lifetimes. And I looked at Michael Rockefeller as a potential on the basis of that email that I got, which was just sort of acknowledging my research in that area. And I thought, he was born in 1938. He disappeared in 1961. That means he was 23. If the training period is roughly 10 years, and 5 of those years are spent on determining absolute loyalty to the cause, he would have been 33 by the time he was indoctrinated into the system. So his disappearance occurred at a time which would enable him to do that. Exactly to the year.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Now, you could say that is a coincidence, but I think there's a lot more evidence to show otherwise. And I don't think they ever expected anybody to figure out who might be in that group. And I don't know that with 100% certainty, but I'm 99.9% certain.
Right.
Now, this is going to be an ongoing topic, I can guarantee you. I appreciate you allowing me to share that. because there are, I should say, some additional outcomes to the things that are going on. Alternative outcomes. We don't have to necessarily accept all these things that are going on as done deals.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. It's there's things being set in motion, like we said earlier, Don, that they thought they could control this leak. They thought they could just make it into a small operation, so to speak. But it's. I don't think anybody predicted the scope of it. So is there intelligent life monitoring what's going on in this planet that are much more advanced than we are? Absolutely. I would think it's a safe bet. Even though, like you said, I'm a skeptic to a certain degree, because it's something I haven't personally experienced, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. I haven't been to China either, but I have pretty good evidence that it exists, so I suspect it does exist.
Where else would Chinese food come from?
Oh, you know, I mean, it can make it up, I guess. But, you know, I also have a belief that there's civilizations inside the earth. Both there's scriptures refer to mysteries above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth. And the hollow earth theory has always intrigued me. I highly believe that's a possibility, because I'm an amateur astronomer as well. My uncle, who was very wealthy, built a planetarium here in Ogden, Utah. It's called the Ott Planetarium, and they've got these huge, powerful telescopes that you can peer into the universe and see some things. When you look at Saturn or Jupiter, the other planets, and Mars, when it's just right, you can see Mars pretty close, and you can see on the poles these wide openings of many, many thousands of miles square. Well, same with Saturn, same with the other planets. Why do we think Earth doesn't have the same hollow structure? We get the testimony of Admiral Byrd and his search for the pole and flying through this very, very thick fog bank, which would make sense when warm, moist air meets up with cold air. You get very, very dense fog, and a perpetual fog, because it's always that way. It would make sense why, you know, you just can very rarely see it from a space telescope. But I don't know if you've seen some of these pictures where there were beamed back some pictures from the space shuttle, and at certain times of the year you can see those openings. You can indeed.
Yeah, I've seen those, and I've seen pictures of planet Balqui too. So I've seen a lot of other interesting photos, some taken by our craft and some taken by other craft. It's as simple as that. You know, in my research into this ACIO, one of the things I discovered that they have several hundred scientists that work for them in allegedly weather-related technologies. Part of what they do is to develop sophisticated instruments to help the U.S. military and intelligence communities predict weather patterns and and to even control weather conditions. So there is another admission that they do control weather, and that this organization is responsible for that. Basically, they operate, as far as I understand, in the Palm Springs area. They have an underground and above ground building. Their labs are underground. And it's rather coincidental that Eisenhower in 1954 went to Palm Springs under the guise of visiting a dentist when he allegedly had alien contact and was in a position to bargain with some benevolent beings, but he turned that opportunity down. And I understand very clearly why, because he was aligned with the opposite side, the one that causes all the problems on this planet. So this is going to be a story in front of the story down the road.
Well, again, it goes back to that book by Peter Moon and Radu Sinemar about the Transylvanian connection to, you know, the Romanian chamber. There's ongoing, you know, contact with these inner Earth civilizations, according to this documentation. And, you know, the truth of it is that many, not all, but many of the UFO sightings are inner Earth aliens. They're not really aliens. They're members of this Earth. They just refuse to make contact. And so they have a relationship with the so-called Federation of other planetary alignments, but the sheeple on the surface are just oblivious to it for whatever reason. Maybe the consciousness isn't there, but as you see these events unfolding and the movements of these crusts and plates, I really believe this is affecting the stability of the inner Earth as well. And mm-hmm. So there's going to be a need to take charge.
Yes, and this is going to happen regardless. Seems like, and I think there's a very easy way to identify who's at the root cause of these things. When it's destructive, you can pretty much attribute it to evil. And I'm not talking about acts of God, because the Creator could certainly wipe out this planet, just to scourge it of its corruption, if he so chose. The Bible describes times that took place. It's quite possible that the people did it themselves, and that the description was attributed to God. But you know, I don't mean to start a controversy, because you know you're meddling with people's convictions in that respect. However, founded in truth or just in faith. The point I'm making is that we have to think outside the box and see that those are things of the past. Right now, what's happening seems to be mirroring many of the travesties that have resulted in the end of certain civilizations on this planet, Atlantis being one. There were a lot of crazy things that went on then, too, and probably made this place unlivable for quite some time. But this idea that we came from monkeys is ridiculous, and the fact that they're not telling us the truth about much of anything these days, we have to rely on our own intuition and our connection to the source, because that is being expanded.
Yep, I would agree with that.
And concentrated at the same time. It's a higher frequency. So, mm-hmm. Well, we're about out of time. Do you want to give your website information out again for the listening audience and maybe tell them who your upcoming guests are on the story behind the story?
Well, surely. It's you can go to www.atrueot.com. Take a look at some of the breaking news stories, the posts that I put out there. It's pretty amazing when you see the video footage of the laser beam going down in the 3 or 4 minute video. It's the only part that's really relevant is those first 30 seconds. You can clearly see that beam, that particle beam. It's not a reflection. It only appears to be a reflection because after you supercharge that weapon and it hits its target, there's going to be when it's shut off, so to speak, the ions through the atmosphere is going to still remain supercharged and look like kind of like a ghost reflection. And that can be confusing. People might think that it's just a, you know, glare off the camera lens. I've had Sterling Allen said that. He said that's just a reflection off of the camera lens. I says, no, look at the first 30 seconds. That's clearly not a reflection. It's a purple blue ray, clear as can be.
Reflections don't take on that symmetry. Number one, those are two beams of equal proportion, and as the camera's moving around, those beams stay fixed over their target.
Exactly. But, you know, he's entitled to his opinion. He also kind of took me to task for you know, being harsh on Israel, because, again, he's a good man and doing a lot of good in a lot of ways, but he's still stuck in that Mormon mindset that Israel is God's chosen people, and as Israel goes, so goes, you know, the free world. And that's just a flat-out lie put out by lying men. Who's in charge of Israel right now is not the true Jews of the tribe of Judah whatsoever. They are imposters and usurpers. It's what Christ referred to in Revelations as the synagogue of Satan, those who say they are Jews but are not. And that is the truth of it. And, you know, here we have, Don, this whole Iranian president sending out another relief convoy from Iran to Gaza, fully armed and loaded for bear, daring the British commandos to try and stop that fleet. If that isn't an act of provocation, you know, the Jewish response to killing those relief workers was a travesty and absolutely a crime, but it's just they're just upping the ante, you know, both sides.
Yes, and then to add to the insanity, they're sending $20 million to send members of Hamas here to this country?
Huh.
the insanity that's
and
going on.
It's not a matter, again, of Jew versus Arab. It's that Hegelian dialectic, because you've got Ashkenazi Jews that are fomenting all the Muslim uprisings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is again, goes back to the Balfour Declaration and the British Crown once again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and your guest, Dr. Mel, stated that today or this evening on your show.
Right.
He pointed out that these are the Ashkenazis, which is Yiddish for German, by the way.
Yep.
And their retreat from Saxe-Coburg and Gotha in Germany, the Frankfurt area, those became the inhabitants of the throne in England, changing the name from Battenberg to Mount Batten.
Yep, and so there you have it. And like I said, had the first of the show, it's a repeat of the conditions that led to the Declaration of Independence in 1776. just challenge the listeners to read the declaration and see the list of offenses and see if it's just not exactly mirrored today.
Yes, exactly.
Well, good night, Ben.
I want to thank you for being on tonight's show, and look forward to next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, also on Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick on the sound. Also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be polymer chemist Dr. Michael Castle. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.